We're beginning here on the bottom of Nun Tet Amud Bet. We are continuing the series of exchanges between Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah and the Kezar. The original story related to our Gemara, because there was the statement that Hashem was compared to a lion. And then we spoke about the Aryeh de Beilai, the unique lion of Beilai, that was what Hashem was compared to. That's related to our Sugya. Now the remaining stories are brought down in a sequence here because they are all the similar of a similar ilk of this exchange between Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah and the Kezar. So I'm like Kezar, Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah, Be'ina de'ichse le'lukaychu. I want to see your God. You can't see him. I'm Ivro. I insist, I want to see him. Chazin and lay. So Azul ukmen lehadayoma b'tukufa tamuz. He took the Kezar out on the summer solstice in the middle of the day. I'm like Stakobe. Look directly at the sun. I'm like lomatzino. He says, I can't. The sun, or the daytime, which is just one of the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kaimei Kamei the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amart lo matzin lis to kolubeit, and you're saying that you're unable to look at it, Shekhinah lo koshukein, can't we draw a kav v'chomer that it'll be impossible for you to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you can't handle some of his minions, and obviously you can't handle HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So I'm like, Kezah the Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah, Bina, de'izvit lei nehema le'elkaichu. I want to prepare a banquet, a large meal. I want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu a wonderful spread. Samalei lo matzit. Says he can't do that. Amai nefishe chilumte. That he has too many legions. He has too many helpers, legions, servants, and therefore you would not be able to serve him. Amalei ivro. Says despite that, I insist, I want to do this, I can do this. Amalei pok tzavit legido derivita. Go ahead and set up your banquet on the banks of the river named Revita, the Revicha Alma, that has a large open area where you can serve him. Tarach Shita Yarcheter, for 6 months he prepared it, then during the Kaito, during the summer. Ato Ziko, at the end of the summer, a wind comes and Kanche the Yama swept it away into the sea, or into the water. Tarach Shita Yarcheter Sitva, then during the winter he worked for another 6 months preparing the meal. Ato Mitro, the rain came along, and Tave Biyama, and then it washed it away again into the waters or into the sea. Amalei my high. So Caesar says to Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah, what's going on here? Says Amalei, these are just the beginning. Hanei kenushai zaluchai data kamei. These are Hashem's sweepers and sprinklers. Kenushai, they are the ones that sweep the house. Zaluchai, in their day, they used to have dust or dirt on the floor and they used to sprinkle water on it to keep the dust settled. So he says, these are HaKadosh Baruch Hu sweepers and sprinklers. That's what they eat. The Adu Kamei, that go in front of him or that work for him. The rest are still coming. He says, if that's the case, I can't keep this up. There are just way too many of them. As you said, that his legions are many and therefore I can't do this. Amalei Bat Kesada Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah. So the daughter of the Kesada says, Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah, Elokechon Nagruhu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a carpenter. Dichdiv. Hamikare b'mayim aliyotav. He places down, he lays beams, b'mayim aliyotav, for the waters in his high places, his attics. Emalei denavid lichada mistaito. He should make me one spool or reel of wood. Amar lechayim. Okay, no problem. Bayrach melo. He davened for her, v'nga, and she was turned into a mitzora. Otva b'shuka. Well, the minhag it was in Rome, we'll see in a second, was that they placed her out in the open marketplace, the Romi. Vevla mistorita, and they gave her this reel or spool, the havenihige b'chol, the mingo. Then anybody who got sarat in Rome, Romi, yavule mistorita, they used to give them a spool or reel. Vyati b'shuka, and they sat in the marketplace. Vesatar dolule, and they used to wind the coils of thread around it. And people would see this, and know that these poor people were mitzoraim. And therefore they would daven on their behalf. Chems to be a halacha that we have, that in the beginning of a sickness, one generally keeps it quiet. But if a person sees that it's going to be prolonged or difficult, or they need the intercession of Shamayim, in that case, they publicize the issue in order that others should come and daven on their behalf. And secondly, one of the reasons for Bikur Cholim is exactly this. One of the reasons given Bikur Cholim is that when the person comes to Mivaka the Choled, they will see their condition, and in seeing their condition, they will daven on their behalf, Makayish Rachamim. And for that reason also, when Shulchan Aruch, when it's brought down, or the Lach is brought down, in terms of when to visit the sick person, one shouldn't visit them and the time of the day where they will be very sick, and also visit them in the time of day when they're very strong. If they look too good or look too strong, people won't consider davening for them. They'll say, yeah, they're not so bad. If they are hopeless and they look horrible and they're very sick, then they also won't daven because they think that it's a hopeless cause. So you have to visit the cholim at the time of the day when you'll recognize their true needs, and it will compel you to daven on their behalf. So a similar idea to what we have here. So Yom Echad Chava Kol Chali Fatam. Shur B'Chananya happened to be passing by this area of the Shuk. And sure enough, she was there winding her threads in the open market, the Romai. Amala Shapirta Mistarita De'Avla Chalukai. Says, do you like the spool or reel that my God gave you? You had asked for a spool or reel, and now you got it. Do you like what you got? Amale Emale Lokecha Lishkol. My Deovli says, tell your God to take back what he gave me. Amala Elokati Dan. Our God is very generous. Mio Yoiv, he gives, Mishkalo Shakil, but doesn't take back. He's only a giver, he's not a taker. Samar Yehuda, sure, an ox is a karsatan, has a large underbelly, upar satan has large hooves, rav reshe has a large head, rav gnovate, and has a large tail, vechilufa bechamra, and with regards to a donkey, it's just the opposite. Lamay nafkemino. Why does this matter to us? We know what a donkey looks like. We know what an ox looks like. Mekach umemkar. That means that the standard understanding between two parties when they're transacting over an ox, when they're transacting over a donkey, is that these particular descriptions be as such. By the ox, they be large. By the chamor, they be small. Because that's what normally is true or comes with a shor, and that's what's normally true or comes with a donkey. From Rabbi Yehuda, another statement by Rabbi Yehuda, shor shikriv adam rishon. The ox that Adam Rishon was makriv, keren achat haita lo b'mitzko. It had a single horn on its head. It was like a unicorn. Shenemar v'titav l'Hashem mishorpar makrin mafris. The song and hoda'ot l'Hashem that you do, tiv l'Hashem, are much more pleasing to Hashem. Mishorpar makrin mafris, from the karbanot, or the sacrifices of the shor, the par, makrin, that has horns and has hooves. So makrin, tarte mashma. I don't know what your proof is from here. Makrin is in the plural form, sounds like it has two, but the normal horns of a shor par, which is two. Samar Nachman, makrin is written without a yud there. It's written chaser. Since it's written makrin k'tiv, or mikeren k'tiv, which is in the singular form, that's how we know that it was a single-horned ox. And that's the mizmor is talking about by Adam Rishon, that titiv l'Hashem ishor par makrin, that's better. Those songs, tishpachot and odot l'Hashem, are much more pleasing than even that shore that was brought by Adam Rishon that had Mikaren had one single horn to it. The shore that Adam Rishon brought as a karban was a unique or unusual in that its horns preceded its hooves. Shenemar, v'titav l'Hashem mishopar makrin mafris. Makrin bereisha, the pasuk first mentions makrin, that the unique feature is its karen, its horns, v'hadar mafris, and then after that, its hooves. So the idea being here that in normal cases of maturing of an animal is born with its hooves. So it has its hooves first, and after it reaches maturity, then its horns grow in. So the normal situation, the normal case would be that the hooves precede the horns. Yet, by Adam Rishon, it's different, because all of creation came out when it was fully mature. Well, if it comes out fully mature, then we would have suggested at least the horns and the hooves at least were simultaneous. But we also know, and we'll see in a second, that since the shor emerged from the ground, as it emerged from the ground, the upper part of the body would be created first. If that's the case, the horns preceded the hooves. And this would be this unique circumstance that the korban will be brought from that animal that has its horns precede its hooves, which is not true in a normal situation where the hooves would precede the horns. And where it says, Messiah Reb Shu ben Levi, this idea that is raised by Rav Yehuda also helps the position of Rav Yishuv ben Levi, or is helped by the position of Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, komaseh b'reshit, bekomatam nivru, bidatam, or probably more likely guess is lidatam nivru, bitzivyonam nivru. First of all, bekomatam, as Tosfot points out over here, we're not talking about that they were upright or erect, but rather, bekomatam means in their full maturity, the state of full maturity that they were brought about. Lidatan, they were willingly or with consent, they were created. And bitzivyonam nivru, and they were created in their form, but also with the understanding from that which was created that they agreed that this should be the form. Shenemar, Hayechulu Hashemayim Varetz, Vichol Tzivaam. Shem Kapit Hashemayim Varetz, Vichol Tzivaam. Al Tikra Tzivaam, Ela tziv yonam. Don't call it tziv'am, but rather tziv yonam. Now tziv yonam, and the way the Oroch interprets it is that this word savar, tziv yonam, actually manifests itself in many ways. So it could also be tziv yonam, or it could be from the root nitzav, upright or standing. So that would be the first case here of nitzav, that it would be komatan, that they were in their full state of maturity, that we can learn out from the word nitzav. Tziv yonam also could come from the word tzvi, meaning desire, consent, alacrity for the datan, that they did it willingly or with their permission. And b'tzivyonam will come from the word again, tzavar, tzivyon, means its shape or pleasure, and that was that they consented to the way that they would look. Okay, and the Gemara continues, Darash Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Yichivo Dashem Neulam Yismach Hashem B'masav, Posuk Zeh Sarar Olam Amro. This posuk was said by the ministering angel of the world. Tosafot over here discusses that there seems to be different agadot of Sar Olam and Matatron, and the fact that Chanoch was Sar Olam, as well as the fact that Matatron was also known as Sar Olam, and that would be, by transitive property, mean that Chanoch was Matatron, which would be very difficult. Tosafot says, maybe it's a machloket agadot. I'm going over here, who exactly the Sar Olam is. The interesting feature of this Tosafot is that he brings his proofs from the Piyutim. And he brings at the beginning of the Tosafot a proof from the Piyut and the Yotzrot for Simchat Torah, the proof that all of these ideas are true. Efi mashim farshim dechanoch zeh matzatron, kimoshi yisad apayit, ve'omer dehu sar olam, kimoshi yisad apayit. Again, all the proofs come from the Piyutim, which is just very interesting methodology of questioning or proof. In the end, Tosfot says that it's very possible that you have a machloket agadot. So pasuk zeh sar olam amro, b'shar shamar kosh baruch hu nemineu be'ilanot. Shem commands trees to come out, each one according to its species, not to get mixed up. Nasu disha'im kal v'chomer atzam. The deshe, or the esif, which did not receive such a command, they were dana kal v'chomer and said, im ritzono shel kosh baruch hu barbuvya. If Hashem really wanted everything to be mixed together and all a mess, Lama marli minei ubi lehanot. Then he would never have commanded the trees to be distinct and separate. Vod kavachomer, my lehanot chain darkam, let's say barbuvia. In general, the trees require spacing in order to grow, so they don't generally grow in that manner of being mixed up and intertwined. So then Hashem still commanded them, limineu, to stay separate. Anu achad v'kaad kam v'kama, we, how much more so? We, who our natural state is to be barbuvia, of course we should have to do it, limineu, umiyad. Based on that, kavachomer, each one came out into its min, which is what the Torah says, that they were yatzal minehem, but there was never any tzivoy of such. Patach sar olam v'amar, sar olam comes out and says, Yichei kvod Hashem le'olam, Yismach Hashem b'maasev, Hashem should be happy, celebrate, rejoice in his creations, because his creations want to do his will, and that they are even dana kavachomer in order to do his will. Now, by Ravina, Ravina says, if this Agadah is really true, that which Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa is suggesting, then it should have a nafkamina l'alocha, which is, hirkiv shnei deshaim zel gabizeh. Person who grafts two different types of desha on top of each other, what is the din? So Ravina asked this of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, based on what Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa just had said. The Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, according to Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa's explanation, what would be the din here? Since there's no tzivui by them that they actually be done the minayu, lo mechayev, there's no obligation to do so. Oduma came into this scheme ayadayu, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to what they did, because, first of all, we don't see him criticizing it, but number two, we said in the end that that's what happened. Kaman dechtivu, it's as if it was literally written there, the minayu, damyo, and therefore it should be a problem of kilayim. Mar says, teiku. We leave it as an unresolved answer. Tosafot says, I don't understand. It's an explicit Mishnah in Kilayim, in the first parak in Kilayim, which is that Ein notim ilan bilan, v'lo yerek b'yerek. Ein notim zer dalad v'toch achalamit, mivnei sheyerek b'yerek. You're not allowed to mix up items, not even just trees, you're not allowed to mix up even vegetation. So why does the Gemara even have a question here? It's an explicit Mishnah. So Tosavot gives two reasons, or two answers. One is, Yesh lomar zibayle b'chutz la'aretz. The question is not about in Eretz Yisrael, but rather in chutz la'aretz, to show kilei zera'im v'asira kavat ilan, where kilei zera is allowed, whereas grafting of trees is not allowed. The question really revolves around chutz la'aretz and not Eretz Yisrael. That's one answer of Tosafot. The second answer of Tosafot is, inami afilu ba'aretz mibayle de raboshia. The kilayim is only when you do a mixture of chita and sora. You need two grains, v'chatzan, and a grape seed in one shot. The last possibility that Tosafot introduces over here is inami l'bnei noach kami b'ile. It's a question for bnei noach. D'sharu b'klei zraim v'sirei b'akavat ilan. They're permitted to have klei zraim, but they're not allowed to have grafted trees because of the pasuk et chokutai tishmaru chukim shechakakti lecha. That are the species and the separation and the categories that I laid out in Masei Bereishit, you shouldn't come along and change them. And for the question is for Bnei Noach, where does this fall out? Does this fall out in the category of Ilanot, or does this fall out in the category of Kilei Zraim? And that will depend on how you view the Kal V'Chomer. If Hashem is Kim al Yadam, then he made them like a Ilanot, because the Kal V'Chomer came from the Ilan, so too they'll be classified as Ilanot. On the other hand, if you think that, yes, it was nice they did with Kal V'Chomer, but Hashem did not elevate them to the status of Ilan, then they would have the same status as Zraim. And by Zraim, Kilayim is Mutar by Ben Noach. Right now we have a very famous Amagadato. Shimon Pazi Ramiktiv. We have two psukim. V'yasa lukim et shnei amirot agdolim, the two large luminaries. Uchtiv et mar gadol et mar katan, the large luminary and the small luminary. Amra yareach lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moon said to Hashem, Ribono Shalom, v'shar l'shnei melachim shishtamshu b'keter achad. It's possible for two kings to rule simultaneously? Amala l'chi u'me'ati et atzmech. Go ahead and shrink yourself down, so that way we won't have two people on the same level. Now here you can see the Gemara is going to use the female conjugation by Yireach, even though in the Torah, or Lashona Torah, it uses it as a male conjugation. So the Yireach responds and says, I'm giving you a good logic, and you agree with me that's good logic. That's me. Now you're going to ask me to take the brunt of the solution and to reduce myself. So Amar Lo, Hashem says back to the Yireach, L'chi u'mashol b'yom v'layla. You can rule over day and night. It's fine. Just reduce yourself, but you rule on both the day and the night. Amar Lo, my revutei. What type of benefit is that for me? True at night, that's great, because there's nothing else around. But during the daytime, shraga b'tira, my honey. What's the point of carrying out flame, a candle, or light under the daylight or in the daylight times? It's worthless. You can't see anything with it. So too. Just because I'm running around during the daytime, but the fact that the sun is there and is brighter, that means that it really doesn't benefit me. So alright, go. Because I'm going to let Bnei Yisrael going to count their holidays, their calendar are going to be based on the lunar cycle. The sun has to also be a part of this. Because you need at least the sun for the tkufta, for the seasons. So you need the sun to correct the calendar and keep it on a steady basis. So therefore, the solar part of the calendar is just as important as the lunar part of the calendar. So Gemara says, Liazil, go, likre tzadikim b'shmech. I will call tzadikim, or tzadikim will call after your name. Because we have Yaakov HaKatan, Shmuel HaKatan, David HaKatan. That adjective of Katan is used by all of them. That descriptive term of Katan is used by all of them. And we know they're all great people. So to you, you shouldn't worry about the fact that you're Katan. Hashem saw that the moon wasn't going to give up so easily, that it was not being put at ease. He should bring a kapara, the Seir L'chatat on Rosh Chodesh, should be a kapara for me. Why is this Seir of Rosh Chodesh different? Where other Rosh Chodesh says Seir L'chatat? Why over here by the Rosh Chodesh says Seir L'chatat Hashem? What's Hashem doing? My Rosh Chodesh says Seir Zeh. This Seir, which is going to be a Chatat, Yeh Kapara Al Shemi Atati Et Erech, will be a rectification, an atonement for the fact that I shrank the moon. So actually it's very interesting. From this Gemara, it's very clear that the reduction in the size of the moon came out of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it's really Kodesh Baruch Hu's issue. And that's why he says, bring the Seir L'chatat on Rosh Chodesh to remind ourselves of that fact. What's very interesting is that the minhag of women not to say Kiddush Levana is based on a Shloah. The Shloah brings it down, even though it seems Ikar Alocha, women should say Kiddush Levana. And it generally points out that in many other mitzvot aseh as man grama, they do participate and they do it. So what is so unique about Kiddush Levana? And here the Shloah quotes, it's in Shari Otiot, Ot Kuf, Asher Nireh Be'enai, Shemitam Zeh Metuchakim Hashim Mitzvah Zu. Why do women stay away from doing Kiddush Levana? Afo Bishmei Kamim, Arbei Mitzvot Aseh, Shazman Grama, they they do many mitzvot as seishah as rangamara time bound mitzvot kagon shofar velulav which are not chayavot, but they still do them. V'lo reinu meolam nashim mikayimot kiddush levana, but we yet never see women doing kiddush levana. Avshein nizarot beolat tefilot, even though they have a command to do all the tefilot. Mipnei shepgam levana garma hisha rishona, because the reduction in the size of the moon was caused by the first woman. Tainu chet chava, the sin of chava, umitrachakim mipnei abusha, and the women stay away because of the embarrassment, the fact that chava, the aim, kochai, the first woman, went ahead and caused this mute of the vana. So women feel a sense of embarrassment about that, and therefore they don't want to say Kiddush Levana. So afal pishim atzul lehem tikkun achar kach, even though they rectified that situation later on, shnitkanu be'egel, when it came to the egel, the women did not participate. The men did participate, but the women stood out. And because of that, shelo chatuv l'shamu l'achar shekadmon, shu asatanu yitzara, that by the egel, since they didn't participate in it, therefore they were rewarded. Therefore, the holiday of Rosh Chodesh was really unique to the women and special significance to the women. There are many who had the minog not to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh because of this idea or this kesher between the woman and the Rosh Chodesh. Shem Hashem wrote, Oto Yoter Men Anashim. So, Gita Perkari Abelezer, Vahuba Tor Ochaim Siman Tet Yitzayim, Mikomakom, Aisha, Hi Asiba Rishona, Shiba Hamisit Olam. She is the first cause of this problem. The of an individual who's trying to sway others from the path. And then afterwards, people followed in her footsteps and got involved with the ego. And we haven't cleansed ourselves of this. And therefore, the moon is sometimes full and sometimes not full. But it's interesting from the Shla, the premise of his position is that the women created or were the problem when it came to Miut Alevana. Yet our Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes full responsibility for that. And that incident, so I don't know if it's a machloket agadot, not exactly sure what the source of the shlof for this is, but it has real nafkaminot in terms of whether women should participate in Kiddush Levana. According to our Gemara, it seems that they have nothing to do with this Miuta Levana, and that would make a strong argument for them Zakein saying Kiddush Levana, like the Ikra Din Mina Gemara. On the other hand, we do find this, the women generally don't say it because of that. Ravasi Rami, Ravasi had a steer in the Psukim, on the third day of creation, says that out of the earth emerged the deshe, all the grasses and vegetation. There on Erev Shabbat, it says that this was, Adam was created before anything had come out of the ground, before any growth out of the ground. So how to reconcile between the two? On Yom Shelishi, when they were created, they came up and they emerged just above the ground level. Ajaba Adam Rishon, until Adam Rishon came and davened. Yadug Shamim, then the waters came, Vitzamchu, and they grew. The conclusion from this, or the reason for this, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves to hear the tefillah of the tzadikim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the tefillah of the tzadikim, and therefore, he puts them in positions where they do have to ask and speak to a Kadosh Baruch Hu for something. Nachman Bar Papa Avulei Hayginto had this nice little garden. Shadi Bei Bizrani, he spread seeds there, Velo Tzamach, and they did not grow. Boy Rachme, Davind, Ata Mitchell, the rain came, Vitzamach, and they started to emerge, they started to grow. Amar Hainu Dravasi, this is exactly that Shaila, or that case like Ravasi, where we had the conclusion in the previous Gemara, when we had a steer between the Psukim with the Deshe, that the conclusion was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Tefillah of the Tzadikim, and therefore you put them in a position where they will have to be by Rachme. And that's what happened here. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rava, HaShesu'ah, the word Shesu'ah, which is somewhat unclear in the Torah, most likely it's translated as being Mafriz Parsa V'Shosad Shesa. That Shesa means that it's cut or the split hoof is all the way through. But over here we have an alternative opinion that the Shesua is not referring to the split hoof at all, but rather a Shesua Briya Bifnei Atzmai. It's a new creation. It's its own creation. Sheyesh la Shnei Gabin has two backs, Vishnei Shidra, the two spinal columns, but yet they share a head. V'chi, Gemara says, V'chi Moshe Rabbeinu Kanigei Haya Oblisteri Haya. Was a Moshe Rabbeinu a hunter? Oh, was he a blisteri, an archer? So since he didn't have such practice in these areas, how is Moshe somehow finding an animal or defining for us an animal that we never saw and we don't know anything about. Animal called Ishtesua. Where it says, Mikan Shuvah Omer, Ein Torah Min HaShamayim. But this is one of the proofs to the fact that Torah is Min HaShamayim. Because otherwise, how can anybody make statements about the Ishtesua? Yet the Torah has what seems unusual insight and knowledge about the Ishtesua and the other animals. That's a proof that it's Torah Min HaShamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who made such statements. Some of the Rav Chisda Rav Tachlifa Bar Avina, Zil Kotuv Kenige Blisterei, Bagotech Upersha. Go write down these words, Kenige Blisterei, and then the Agadah that we just learned associated with them, you should write it all down in one place. Chamesh Etzanei Plishtim, Hazativ, Ashdodiv, Ashkeloni, Agativ, Akroni, Vavim. It says that you have the five leaders of the Plishtim, and then it goes ahead and enumerates six. So Amar Chamisha. Pasuk says five, v'choshiv shita, and then afterwards it writes six. Sam Rabbi Yonatan, aronke shalem chamisha. So the word here, aronki, or it's either a donkey that's brought down, or a dandaki, all of them mean the same thing, which is, they got an adon, aronke shalem chamisha. The overseers, the overlords, the upper echelons were only five, but they're still all plishtim. Amalei Rav Chisda, Rav Tavchlifa Bar Avina, tov aronki bagadatech, write this word down in your notebook, Buperisha on the Perush that we just heard, this Agarata that we just heard, I want you to write it down. Upligi de Rav, and this argues on the position of Rav, Dama Rav, Avin mi Teman bo, that the Avim are not really indigenous to this area, but they really came from Teman. Now, Teman both an offspring from Esav, and maybe even Teman, the location in the south. Tanya Nami Ochi, that we have a bright that supports that, Avim mi Teman bo, Velamini Krashiman Avim, so the Avim came from Teman, so Velamini Krashiman Avim. If, according to the Breita, they really came from Teman, why are they called Avim? So one possibility is, she'ivuto et mikoman. I would say that they went either wayward from their location, or they left desolate location. They left whatever they left behind, and they went somewhere else. I mean, they moved to the area of the Plishtim. Davar ched, Avim she'ivu leluhot harbe. That they desired many gods, and especially those of the Plishtim. So they came to join them. Another possibility is Avin, anybody who sees him, Okhzato Avit, they are overtaken by trembling and fear. So that's the word Avit. So the word over here, Avim, is a play in different manifestations of all of these. So Yosef, these Avim that we said would cause you, when you see them, cause you to tremble and be in fear. And Rav Yosef says about these individuals, Shitzar, Dareshine lechol chad v'chad. They had 16 rows of teeth, each one of them. So they're fierce, ferocious, and that's why they're so scary. There are many psukim in the Torah which seem meaningless. Seem like you could just rip them out, burn them, and it would make no difference to the whole Torah. It turns out that they are fundamental to the lachot of the Torah. The Avim live in this area from chatzirim until azah. Ma'inafgan mina. Why do we care about this? Because of the peace treaty between Avimelech Avram. It says, me, my offspring, my grandchildren. So, let the Kaftarim come and remove the Avim. Because the Avim are Plishtim. And then B'nai Yisrael will come and take it from the Kaftarim. Basically, the Kaftarim were Machshir. Basic idea is that the Kaftarim are Machshir, the area. Because had it still been the Avim, and they've still connected to the Plishtim, then we'd still be under the umbrella of that treaty that was signed between Avram and Avimelech. And as part of that, these properties were awarded to the Plishtim and to Ammon, Moab. Those were areas that Hashem says, you're not allowed to bother them, you're not allowed to take things from them. And those areas, Bnei Yisrael were precluded from attacking or taking over. But if someone else precedes them and takes over those lands, they are quote-unquote mitaher. They cleanse those areas because the new conquerors, their Bnei Yisrael has no rules with regards to new conquerors except to do well. What's been described here is Livku Kaftarim. The Kaftarim came, chased out the Avim who were part of the Plishtim. And that's why it's a proof to Rav that they were considered like the Plishtim, that the Avim were Plishtim and not from Teman. But nevertheless, over here we have a case where the Avim were conquered by the Kaftarim. The Kaftarim, Bnei Yisrael can attack and conquer no problem. We have a similar type of case when it comes to Ammon and Moab. The reason that he had it was because he took it from Moab. We're not allowed to fight or to start up with Moab. But on the other hand, if Sichon covered it, we are allowed to attack Sichon and we can capture it in that convoluted manner. And now, Kamina, what's the issue here? Don't bother Moav. Let Sichon come along and take or conquer property from Moav. Let to Israel, and then Bnei Israel will come and conquer it from Sichon. That's what explained this statement that we have, that Amon and Moav were Nitar Ayudei Sichon. Because since Sichon conquered those areas from Amon and Moav, after Bnei Israel come later on and they conquer those areas, and once it's in the possession of Sichon, when Bnei Israel come and attack Sichon, they're not bothering Moab or Amon. They're taking it from Sichon. Tzidonim yikru'u l'chermon Siryon. The Tzidonim, who have locations that are adjacent to the Chermon, they used to call it Siryon. Tana Snir v'Siryon mehare Eretz Yisrael. That both the Snir and the Siryon are both parts of the mountains of Eretz Yisrael. Malamed. Shkol echad ve'echad me'umot ulam alach ubano lo krach gadol le'atzmo. Every individual of the world went ahead. Ubalo krach gadol built a great city for himself. Ubalo ashem hare Eretz Yisrael. And they named them after the mountains in Eretz Yisrael. L'medcha she'afilu hare Eretz Yisrael chavivim al umot olam. To teach you that the mountains of Eretz Yisrael are desirable even in the eyes of the non-Jewish nations. Therefore, they all want to name it after, give a name to Har Hermon, or take part of that name for their cities. So we have a similar type of case with the Am Hevir Otoli Arim. So that Yosef goes ahead as part of the work that he does with Paro and the famine that's going on. He moves the individuals, he moves the people to new locations to show his control, show the fact that he's now owner of the property that they sold to him. He exercises that right. Then he moves the people around to show who's really in charge and the land really belongs to him. He moves the people around in order to demonstrate that ownership. So my Navgamino, why did Yosef do this? In order to protect his brethren. When they came down, when Yaakov and his family came down to Mitzrayim, they were obviously outsiders. But if everybody was an outsider because they had been moved around, they would feel less resistance and less animosity towards them. Therefore, Yosef, in anticipation of that, goes ahead and befriends in order that his brothers not be embarrassed and that they did not feel out of place. Yosef made it that everybody was a gula, everybody was exiled from their location. So the fact that the Bnei Yisrael, the Shvatim, were here was no greater or less than of the other situation. And that's the godless of Yosef at Tzadik, that he really thought about others and not just himself in the situation. He had the forethought to realize that eventually maybe the family would come here. In order to protect them and to make them feel at ease, when they came there, he put others into galut so that they would not feel out of place. Okay, we'll stop over here.